preachers in our church, but I'm thankful that God's people can tell about what is happening to me. If you couldn't tell about it, to live your life and not know. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The redeemed have been saying so this morning, and I'm thankful for that. I will say this, I'll make this remark about that it is well with my soul. I hear a lot of people say, well, how are you today? Well, they say, well, I'm good. That's not what you're supposed to answer with. The correct terminology would be, I am well. Well, a lot of times we're not well. But in my soul, I'm well. You have your Bibles, and I'd like to turn to this portion of reading. I have probably some very familiar reading. It will come from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Again, I don't know that I will present to you a lot of thoughts this morning, but I want to read the scripture nonetheless, and I will make a few comments. Again, it's been a couple weeks, so you'll have to bear with me for at least a minute or two. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the deck. And they awake and say unto him, Master, perish thou that we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the wind, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea. I got this thought as I was sitting in my office chair a couple weeks ago. I had no idea there was a Hurricane Irma coming. I knew I'd be out of the pulpit last Sunday, and I thought, well, at least you've given me a thought for when I get back. And then they started talking about the hurricane. I kept thinking, well, I'm going to get up there and preach a sermon about a storm, and they're all going to think I have conjured that up because there is a storm coming. But the thought that the Lord laid upon my heart was the eye of the storm. And I don't mean E-Y-E. I mean the eye, as in I. The letter I of the storm. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? We talk a lot about, in our churches, about this thing that happens to each of us when we get saved. I've heard it described in a lot of different ways. I've heard people describe this feeling and just, if you can pull it up in the dictionary, I've heard probably every terminology there has been to describe it. But the thought that I have is about peace. I've never been in a hurricane, and I've never been in a major, major storm. But have you ever been outside right before a storm is coming, and you've noticed just how everything is nice and peaceful, just as calm as it can be, just like you're sure that something is about to happen, that you know that that there's something coming and you can't tell what it is? I remember there was a night that it's several years ago. My family probably does not remember this. We had been told all day long that there was a storm coming. I think the school shut down, and I kept thinking, oh goodness, you're really hyping a storm in a major, major way. We're shutting down schools for this. And I remember I talked to my mother, and I said, you know, I just think it would be better if I stayed, because I was going to go to the town, be with Nanny. I think she was still alive at the time. And I thought, well, you know, I'll stay at home and I'll just kind of ride it out here. And I remember watching as the storm approached where we lived. We got the weather before Franklin did. It would always turn black in the sky. And I remember looking out every time a storm would come and think, oh, this one's going to be good. The sky would just be as black as it could be, and I remember thinking, oh, something is coming. And of course, I had been outside a little bit throughout the day and kind of being ready for the storm. I like storms. I really do. I think they're fascinating. And so I remember right before the big event, I guess as they have been calling it all day, happened, it was dead calm outside. There is no feeling like that feeling before a storm hits. If you've never experienced it, I don't encourage you to go down and be an Irma when the eye of the storm comes through. I think that you probably should stay away from that. But they say that in a hurricane, the center of that thing, there is a great calm in the midst of that. I've never experienced it. But as I was sitting in my office chair, there was a song that was playing. If you've ever heard Paul Williams and Victory Trio, they're one of my favorite gospel singing groups. But there was a song that was being sung, and it was "Don't Worry About Me." There was a part in that song that he says, Paul Williams has a beautiful high tenor voice, and he says, "I have a deep, settled peace that I found a long, long time ago." And my mind immediately went to these verses of Scripture that our Savior was there for. Now, I want to set the stage, and I don't intend to preach a long time this morning. But I want to set the stage for you about what was taking place out on the sea. Now, they had gotten on this ship, they had been teaching, and I believe the disciples, we know that they were all together there, and they were listening to what Jesus was saying. And there was a group that had gathered in, and Jesus said they finally dispersed them, and they'd gotten on the ship. They were going over to the other side. And if you've never been on a ship, when a storm happens in the ocean, that thing will rock you every which way but loose. And as I thought about what was taking place here on this sea, they got on these ships, and I imagine there was the one that our Savior was on. Now, I don't want any of us to think that they had great ocean liners that they took out. They don't look like your modern-day cruise ships. I guarantee that. They don't have the modern amenities that we do. They were probably very basic boats, and we say ships, and we think of great big things that are able to withstand storms or anything that comes. But they were on probably very rickety little boats for their time period. I probably would not get on one now. This is what they were on, and there were many of them. There were a few other little ships. How many does it say? You know, other little ships. It says there arose a great storm of wind. I remember the first cruise we went on. One of the nights, a storm come up, and I was on that bottom floor. And the waves began to get high, and I thought, if we don't get off this thing, it was rough. It was throwing me everywhere. I could lay in bed and see the walls just kind of rocking and moving. And I was ready for that thing to get out of here. And it says the waves, they beat into that ship. Now you just imagine these boats as they're sailing. And they're just being tossed every which way. So that it was now full. The boats began to be full of water. Now, imagine again, we don't have the same technology they don't have the same technology that we have now. If water gets into our boats, we have a bass boat. And if water gets in it, you turn on this little pump and it shoots it back out so it doesn't sink. Well, you see, they didn't know, have any idea what they were going to do, but they did know there was a storm around them, and they had no idea how they were going to make it out. Had no idea. I imagine that someone said, you know, we're all up here. We're all concerned. This boat is about to sink, and Jesus, he's just asleep downstairs. What do we make of that? We're all worried, but yet he's able to sleep in this storm. He's able to just be okay with what's going on. He's able to just lay down there. And it doesn't seem to even be bothering. Listen to what it says. He was in the hinder part of the ship, meaning the bottom part, or inside the boat. He's asleep on a pillow. If you've ever been in a really bad storm, it's hard to sleep as the thunder rolls and the lightning crashes and
All you hear all night long is the tornado warnings as the mornings as they go out. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving home from work, and all of a sudden, I heard the tornado sirens go off, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not in the best place on the interstate for a tornado to come through. But I'm here nonetheless. There's nowhere I can go. So I just kept listening and kept hoping that the tornado would stay away while I was out there. And, well, I'm here, so I guess you know the result of that story. It says he was asleep. And they wake him. Can you imagine? They went down there and they said, oh, he's asleep. We are worried. The storm's raging, but our Savior, our Jesus, is asleep. And so they woke him up. They said, do you not care that we're about to die? Do you not care that the storm is raging outside and we're all about to die and you just lay down here asleep? He said, he got up, he arose. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say, I don't add, or I don't want to take away. But I don't imagine it took him a real long time to get out of that bed or wherever he was laying. But I imagine him just, and it doesn't say this, and doesn't tell about where he was when he said it, but I can just imagine as he gets out of that area that he's in, going to the top of the boat and looking out and just saying, he rebukes the wind. And he looks at it. You think about this. Again, I like when God puts things together. You all have been talking about the power and the might of our God. Little did you know that I had a sermon in the same vein as that. But you think about this. He walked to the top of this ship, I'm imagining, it doesn't say that. And he began to chastise the wind. And then he looks at him and he says, peace, be still. And do you think it took a real long time for that wind to calm down? No. I believe it was instantaneous. The moment that our Savior spoke to the very wind, he was able unto the calm and down. You think about the very one that controls it all. The very one that we're in the palm of the hand of. The very one that controls, that protects, that makes our lives exactly what they should be. He's the one that can speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. He's the eye of the storm. Where do I get that from? A couple weeks ago, I may have preached about and talked about Moses. And when Jesus called Moses out to go get the children of Israel, he says, well, who do I tell them sent me? What did he say? I am. You're what? I am. You're what, God? I am. I am everything. I am Alpha. I'm Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I am everything. I'm life. I'm the one that sent you. You go and you tell them that I'm the one that has called you and led you. He's the eye of the storm. He's the one that controls it in our lives physically and also spiritually. You see, every one of us, we have things that we face that are called storms. Every one of us has things that happen to us that we don't understand, that we don't fully comprehend. We have days where things don't go right. We have months, weeks, years that seem endless. You imagine how Moses felt as Jesus spoke to him, or as God spoke to him. He says, you go and you lead the children of Israel out, and you're going to be the one that's going to lead them. And Moses said, who am I? Who am I? God knowing that Moses didn't have the greatest speech, but what did God tell Moses? He said, I'm the one that created the tongue. I'm the one that gave you your speech, and I'm going to be the one to help you with the speech. Now, before anybody says, oh, Brother Taylor preached us a Joel Osteen message today, I'm just going to start calling his name out. I don't like him. And guess what? If he ever calls me, I'll tell him I don't like him. I want him to be saved. I don't think he is. He needs to be. If you like him, you need to research him a little bit better. Because I want to tell you, he's a good motivational speaker, but he's not much of a preacher. And I want all of us to understand something. We are all going to face hard times in our lives. Every one of us. You're going to lose someone very close to you at some point. You're going to have something bad take place.
understand. I've made this remark several times. I don't know who has lied to people and said that God told them life would be easy. It is, in fact, not easy. It's hard. It's hard. But what's the very crux of all of this? Peace.
Amen.
Peace. What is peace? If I were to go around this sanctuary this morning and ask you what peace was, I imagine most of you all would say, salvation. When I think of peace, that's the first thing I think of. You know why I think about that? Because it's the greatest peace that I've ever known. Go a step further. What is actually peace? If you want my definition of it, it's the absence of trouble. You say, preacher, you told me I was going to have a bad day, so how can there be peace? When you've truly been saved by the grace of God, the worst day that we have, and guess what? I've had a few. You've probably had a few. But even on our worst days, our hardest days, the times that are the worst, we can still find peace. We can. How do I know that? Because there's peace in here. That song that Paul Williams sang says, don't worry about me. What happens tomorrow? What happens in the life to come? Don't worry about me. Why do you not have to worry about me? Because I have a deep, settled peace that was established a long, long time ago. It's a deep, settled peace. I don't worry about a lot of things in life. There are several things that I do worry about. But there's so many things that I don't allow to take over my thoughts and the things that I do, because I know that the very one that created the world is the one that goes with me. He's the one that can walk to the top of the ship, look out at the storm and say, peace be still. What did it say that they all did? They said, oh, well, that's good. Glad to see that. The Lord looked at them and He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They were worried. I worry. I know what worry is. If you've been around me very long, and most of you all have been, you know that I like to worry about everything. And a lot of times, when we worry, it's an absence of faith. It is. It's that we're not fully trusting that God is going to take care of whatever that we have sent to us. We talked about a verse of Scripture in Sunday school this morning, that He is able to lead us out of the temptation that we've gotten ourselves into. You read over in the book and in there, and it talks about He is able to help us with those things. You think about this for just a moment. Have you ever done something you weren't supposed to? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know every single one of you is guilty. So you don't have to raise your hand and show me this morning. And you knew that what you were about to do was going to cause a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. And you did it anyways. Even if it's not something very major, it was, don't touch the stove because it's hot. Or don't go in there because you might get hurt. Or don't do this. Don't run with scissors. Don't run with a knife. Don't pull your sister's hair. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't get in trouble. We get ourselves in a situation sometimes that we don't know how to get out of. But even in those situations, we can find peace and save people with recognition that our God is there with us. I've said this before. I've taken God a lot of places and He didn't really want to go. And you say, what do you mean? God's everywhere. Yes, He is. But I've done things. I've been places that I shouldn't have been, and I took God right along with me. And then, when something happened, when I needed Him, I could turn to Him and say, God, I've messed up. You know the best thing about our God is that He's always willing to forgive. We struggle with things. We have those times when there doesn't seem to be a lot of peace in our lives. Paul told Timothy,
If you want to live a quiet and peaceable life, do these things. And he was talking about pray. And I believe if you read that first part of that second Timothy, that first chapter, Paul gave him a lot of good instructions.
To have a good life, what do you have to do? Live for God.
If you truly want peace, you'll live for God. Now, when I look at this and says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? I think he could talk to every single one of us. Why are you so fearful? We fear things. I am sure today there are a lot of people that are scared about what's going to happen to their homes and their lives. They should be. That is a great storm that is coming. It's a physical storm. You say, why would God, a God of love, a God of peace, a God of wonder, why would he do that? Why would he send the storm there? The questions that I have don't always have answers. You would might say, well, preacher, how can you tell me that there's so much peace when we're living in a world where there seems to be no peace? The only true peace that's found is found in our God. He's the only one that can give us true peace. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I like to go off to sleep in peace and comfort and tranquility and know that if I wake up in the morning and have to face the day again, that I have someone that can help me with the peace to go through it all. I like what the writer says. He says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's the Savior of the world. And the best thing about it is when you get saved, he goes with you. Brother Coleman Taylor used to reference this poem quite a bit. It was the footprints in the sand. And he talked about how that the Lord and this person, they were having a conversation. And he says, Lord, why is it that there's only one set of footprints in the sand? And he said, it was when you were weak that I carried you. I took care of you. I made sure you were okay. You think about this morning. Think about peace. An absence of trouble. We all have troubles in our lives. We're always going to until we leave this walk of life. But if you have been saved, you have true peace with our Lord and our Savior. I don't know if I can find a verse of Scripture, and I'm going to try to if God will help us this morning. I found it. Psalm 46. Turn with us to Psalm 46. One of my most favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible. I say that about a lot of them. If you were to start marking down all my favorite scriptures, you'd probably just have to hand me a Bible right back. Because I say that about 98.9% of the ones. Psalm 46 in here. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Be still and know that I am God. I'll make some close with that verse of Scripture. I hope that I didn't intend to preach a real long time for that. I've made the remark several times. Have you ever seen a bunch of Baptists be still? In a lot of aspects, we are still. But it's hard sometimes to lay things at God's feet and say, you're going to have to take care of these. And then when we do that, it's hard to then have peace about doing it. You all know this. You all know that I like to make sure things go the way that I think they should. But when you have to take something to God and lay it at His feet and say, God, I can't do this without you. I can't control this. I can't make heads or tails of it. You're going to have to help me. And you can walk away and have that peace about it. There's nothing greater than that. There are several things in my life that I've had to say, Lord, I can't. I have no idea. And so you'll have to fix this if there's going to be any fixing. And then have peace knowing that God is taking care of it. Be still and know that I am God.
I don't know that there's any more comforting words in the Bible than it says, be still and know that I am your God. Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. There's nothing greater. There's nothing. We're fixing to enter a season where you'll hear people talk about peace on earth. And they'll sing the joys of the world. They'll sing about peace and the silent nights and all those wonderful good things. I love that time of year. We talk about all that. You'll see ornaments that have peace written on them. And I think I have a couple of them that say peace written on them. Greatest peace, though, is not what happens Christmas morning or in that holiday season. The greatest peace is what happens in the soul of a man. And you know why I say that? Because the eye of the storm, the one who is the person that stood out in front of the wind and said, peace, be still, is the very one. Now, the night you got saved, you remember, we sang that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Do you remember how you felt the very moment before you got saved? I guarantee you, if you've been saved, you felt condemnation, you felt hurt, you felt pain, you felt trouble. It was like your whole soul was being twisted and hurt and tormented. But the very moment that Jesus Christ looked to the Father and He said, this one's prayed through, all of that rolled away. And then you could say, it is well with my soul. Now, there's going to be people today that are going to lose their homes. They're going to not be able to say things of that great with them at the moment. If they've been saved by the grace of God, they can still say, it is well with my soul. Because the eye of the storm, one that can stand right out in front and say, peace be still. Not only is he still able to do that today physically, if he wanted to, he could turn that storm around and send it back to wherever he wanted. He could remove it completely. He's the one that's capable of doing all things. As it's been stated, he is able to take an ocean and lift it away. Take it completely away. He's able to make the hills and the mountains, they quake, they melt at his appearing. He's also able to save our souls. What a joy that is, while we stand together and while we sing this morning.